If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
The economy is not going to be closed down again. There may be certain places where there is. That's up to the local authorities. I don't deny that. But fatalities are still down, and there's a lot of positive declines in cases, just as there are negative declines in cases.
There's positive things, and there's also negative things. I'm in a bad mood. I'm warning you now. I need y'all today. I need y'all this Friday because of, you know, because they're trying to walk Texas back. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. There was Larry Kudlow saying, okay, well, like nationally, federally, there's not going to be any kind of a, we're not going to have an economic shutdown because I'll riot. Mm-hmm. And again,
wait, protest?
No, I'm going to riot, not protest, okay. Riot. Okay. Big difference. Right. Like how I said yesterday, ain't no riot like an Ozark riot because an Ozark riot never stops. So that's what we're getting into. It's, oh my gosh, we made it to Friday to where we can stay home some more. Hi, I'm Dana Lash, at D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. I'm wearing an adult onesie today because I can, because it's America. Because I'm feeling sorry for myself. I'm not feeling sorry for myself. Let me rephrase that. I'm mad about it. I'm mad about it because media is garbage. The people in media are garbage. It's all garbage. Trash. So media in Texas and really everywhere else, we're trying so bad. Like, oh my gosh, Greg Abbott, everybody in Texas is going to die. And that, look at the cases that are climbing. We've got people dropping like flies because of the Rona. We don't, though. That's the thing. All these people that are talking about Texas don't know what the hell is going on in Texas. And I'm going to talk about the polling as well coming up. So the bars are closing now, or no, in an hour. All the bars are closing in an hour except for takeout, and they're reducing restaurant capacity. Some things are walking back, like they're stopping elective surgeries to preserve bed space, even though, by the way, that prohibition yesterday only applied to like 4 counties, and it was all the counties where there were protests and riots near Austin and Houston. So thanks, rioters and protesters. Oh, by the way, I am going to say that 1,000 times. Thank you, rioters and protesters, for shutting everything down again. Do you know why I'm going to say it 1,000 times? Because we have contact tracers who have legit been told by some of these leftist states, you are not allowed to ask people whether or not they were at a protest or a riot or anything of that nature. That information cannot be incorporated into determining whether or not participation in said protest and or riot contributed to the further heightened spread of the Wuhan coronavirus. We remember that story. Do you all remember that? I just want to bring that back up. Because contact tracers are not allowed to ask about protests and the riots and all of this stuff. In fact, they don't ask this. This was reported Business Insider, CBS, New York Post. This was specifically in New York. They were really pushing this. Coronavirus contact tracers, you can't ask if people attended protests. So I'm going to assume that it's all your fault. Because there's no scientific curiosity at all whatsoever to accurately and adequately track this thing, because it makes Democrats look bad. So thanks, rioters and protesters. It's all your fault. I laid entirely at your feet. I'm not even joking. I do. It's all your fault. You went out there and you decided to riot and protest and nobody's social distance, and you beat people and you burn buildings, and then all the damn germs spread, and here we are again. Now we got to start walking back things 50%. My damn gym closed permanently and I can't even get a heavy plate, so sit the hell down. It's all your fault. Just going to blame you. This is not even a serious effort to track any of this. It's a serious effort, though, to use this as a cudgel. I'll say that. So apparently the coronavirus task force press updates are returning today. And when you look at Texas, Texas is not anywhere near bed capacity, guys. I realize that the media is like, look at Greg Abbott. This is what happened. Didn't we tell Greg Abbott not to open early? Didn't we tell him? Oh, my gosh. It's this is really bad. Can you believe this? Actually, if people were to listen, and by people, I mean these entities, if they would take the information that the public needs and maybe retell it to us in some kind of readable manner or broadcast manner, that would be amazing. No, we don't have that. That's like something that needs to be invented. Really needs to be invented. I mean, can you imagine how helpful that would be? So here's the, when you listen to actual Texas hospitals, Texas Medical Center, and I have been seeing statements from a number of them, they're like, yeah, we're pretty good. We're not at capacity. They're not at any, they're not at a surge. They said that they have, the Houston's largest hospital network said that they had some 70% of the available ICU beds as of June 23rd. Those were by non-coronavirus patients. That was it. They said that 27% had the virus, and of that, I mean, it's not at a surge capacity. It's not overwhelming. And so that's one system that I was reading, had been releasing some data. But even if you looked at, even if Texas were as hard as hit as New York was and is, we still would not be, our resources still would not be stressed to the point as like worst case scenario. So all of this is to say that I honestly believe the refusal of legacy media to properly put into context and perspective what you're witnessing with regards to the spread of this is, I wish that there was another word for criminal, because it's so negligent. It is so recklessly, it's negligent and absolutely malicious. Shame on some of these people. Don't trust a single damn thing you read from nobody. Trust nothing. Not even kidding you. We are now at the phase you can't trust. You can't trust your mama. Don't trust anybody. This data, as it's being pushed out, there was a story that I saw the other day, actually yesterday, and it was talking about Colleyville's mayor. Remember, we had on Colleyville's mayor before. He was one of the first mayors to open the town. And they're still doing really well in Colleyville. I mean, he's been giving everybody the information that they need, and like, this is where we are, and we're not at some kind of, you know, surge capacity. We're not anywhere near that. Everything's great. And I'm not going to mandate that people wear masks in Colleyville, Texas. And okay, then they don't need to. That's the other thing. So we have a mask mandate where I live now. And I went on my mayor's Facebook page today and I was looking, and I have all these commenters because, you know, you have all these California progressives that are coming in and trying to turn everything into San Francisco with feces and needles everywhere. And I'm reading some of the comments and I see, thank you, mayor. It's so great. It wasn't the mayor who did it, blockheads. It's a state mandate, which is stupid that the entire state has to go under some things like this because of what they did in the rioters and protesters in Houston and Austin. Oh, don't tell me that it's not them when you guys don't allow for adequate contact tracing. So sit down. And when you blamed a Tulsa rally, not even a week ago. This is how I look at it. If you're going to do a mask mandate, keep your ass home unless it's an N95. Or at best, a surgical mask. If you're going to do it, then don't fake it. If you just think a cloth mask works, you're a poser. And this is just virtue signaling for you, and you're part of the problem, and you don't care about people dying. And I mean every damn sentence, every syllable of that. If you're one of those people who's like, oh, I can just go out with a cloth mask, and you're all about the mask, wearing of the masks, you're killing people. You're a grandma killer. You ought to be ashamed. And I hope that you sit at home and cry in a dark room somewhere, just so feeling awful about how you're risking everyone's lives with your stupid cloth mask that you got on Etsy. Because cloth masks don't do a damn thing. They don't do a single thing. You look dumb. I'm not, people need harsh talk right now. It's stupid. Unless it's an N95 or a surgical mask. And I'm going to go over all of that information again that we went over a couple of weeks ago. All the studies. Cloth masks don't even barely do 4% of filtration. That's it. Surgical masks were anywhere between 40 to 44%. Three different studies, independent studies. N95s, now that's, you know, if I see you out with an N95 and you're a mask person, then kudos to you. You're doing it right. But if you're out there screaming at everyone else, you need to wear a mask. Wear your mask. How dare you? And then you're out there with a cloth mask. Go home and stay home. You're going to get everybody killed. Stay home. Cloth masks should be shamed. I agree. So keep it real. Keep it real. If you're going to do it, then do it. Don't sit here and just virtue signal. So some of the other things, because I'm going to get into the polling, and we're going to talk about some of the new cases as it relates to the Wuhan coronavirus and some of the 2020 stuff. And the latest as it in Florida and in Georgia, too. And then I have a whole bunch of other cancel culture, more cancel culture headlines for you. Because now Winn-Dixie wants to change their name. Yeah.
Just joking about that last week.
Yeah. Don't quit joking about it because then they do it. Dang. Stop it. We're going to discuss that. And we're also going to talk about how Chaz Chop, they said that they're done. Well, they're done and they accomplished everything that they wanted to do somehow. I don't know. But, yeah, pretty short-lived. All right. So looking at 2020 and all of this, this was interesting. Daily Caller asked Biden's campaign if he supported removing Washington, Grant, and Roosevelt and Jesus statues. And the campaign never responded. Because you guys got to yell down to the basement. You got to open the door and yell down to the basement. Joe! And you got to yell real loud. Because sometimes he's sleeping. And then you can ask him. You got to yell down to the basement. The campaign was asked like a full day ago whether or not they had a response. And of course they didn't. Of course they didn't respond. He has no idea what he's going to say about any of this. We're going to talk about that and more coming up, including the latest as it relates to defunding police. Oh, my goodness. A crazy response from the chancellor of UC Berkeley. Wait until you hear this callous response to a student's death. You know, because, well, sorry, it wasn't related to Black Lives Matter, so I guess we don't care. Oh, man, wait till you all hear this. I have some crazy stuff for you today, and we're going to be opening up phone lines here in a little while. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or the First, Channel 248 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
A new bill that is being pushed would slash protections for tech companies who censor free speech. I don't think private companies can censor things. And it would be really great to the rage syndrome that is taking over my body if we could stop saying stupid stuff like that. Now, look, I'm all about, you know, looking at Section 230 and holding people accountable, but I'm allergic to it as an American. Also, a lot of regulation. Anyway, Kelly Loeffler out of Georgia is introducing a bill to amend the Communications Decency Act so tech companies can restrict constitutionally protected speech, though they may not be able to retain liability protections. We've talked about this ad nauseum, but this is just some movement in that legislation. So Joy Reid gets a 7 p.m. slot taken over. She's taking over Little Lord Fauntleroy, a.k.a. Chris Matthews on MSNBC, his 7 p.m. slot. You guys remember when she wrote all these homophobic blog posts, and then when it came out that it was her, she was like, it's not me, I was hacked. And then she like supposedly hired this like top-notch security expert firm, and they were all like, but you weren't hacked, though. Where did that go? Yeah, Yeah, y'all remember? Man, this story is absolutely nuts. Listen to this. Black Lives Matter activist lost a testicle after being shot in the beans with a rubber bullet during a George Floyd protest. Bradley Stein, who was involved in some of these protests, is now going to sue the LAPD because he said he was shot in the jimmies during a May 30 protest. Was it a protest or were you like violently rioting? Because it's my experience, having attended probably more protests than this person could conceive in their cerebral cortex, I've never seen anyone shot in the jimmies unsubstantiatedly, which I just made up as a word and we're running with it. Moving on down the line here. Let's see here. Ooh. So this, because I had another headline as it related to Tampa. I didn't hear a lot about this. Did y'all hear a lot about this? Tampa officers who were ambushed after responding to a call. This was in, and I'm not going to say this name right, so I'm not going to say it. But it's near Tampa, and they had there were people who were apparently protesting. Hundreds gathered at an intersection, and when the officers got out, because they were called, and when they got out after responding, people jumped on police vehicles, and they were throwing bottles and glasses, and two officers were injured but were expected to be okay. And I didn't really hear a lot about that. Did you? It's crazy how I didn't hear a lot about that. Just kind of interesting. And celebrities are demanding that studios divest from police to prove Black Lives Matter to Hollywood. So if they're all going to give up all of their armed security to prove somehow that Black Lives Matter, then they can do that. And then they can go to their Oscars and they can go to their movie premieres and they can go to, you know, whatever film festival, and they can do all of this stuff without having any security, because we would hate to make any of these individuals look in any way hypocritical at all about how much they care for the lives of others while voting for the same politicians and supporting with their vote the same policies, the regulations that get the people that they say they love so much they want to protect killed. Right? Because, you know, there's nothing if not for consistency. Anyway, I'm in a mood. I was telling y'all. I'm telling y'all. This is where I know you do hear it. So coming up, this is what we're going to get into. Virus updates, because Florida, now they're saying that can't go to a bar and get liquor. Was that at noon too? Or is that just Texas? It was at noon.
No, it was at noon.
Oh my gosh. So the reopening, and then a crazy letter from the UC Berkeley chancellor. Wait until you hear this. You got to hear this today. Stick with us.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
We have people on Capitol Hill, I'm sad to say, that think cops are guilty until proven innocent. And I'm going to say what I said the other day. If you hate cops just because they're cops, next time you get in trouble, call a crackhead.
There you go. God love that man. Senator Kennedy from Louisiana, who is a national treasure. Does he know he's my best friend, or has he not figured that out yet? Can you just send an email to his office and be like, the Dana Show would like to inform you that she considers Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana one of her best friends. Not in a creepy psycho way at all. At all. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Yeah, seriously, if you're in trouble, call you a crackhead then. Go ahead. Hey, call one of them people that you used to see up on live PD, or cops that would slap fight in the street about meth. Call you one of them one tooth wonders. Come out there and help you out. You know, what is it? Maybe you got, I don't know, maybe your kid locked themselves in the car or something. Call one of the one tooth wonders to come and pry it out with their one tooth. I don't know. Call one of them. Call meth head. Call crackhead. I'm just saying. Man, I'm going to tell you what. Can I just sidebar, because it's Friday? I'm getting ready to pick a fight. I was telling them, because our town now has this mask mandate. And you guys know me, right? How I am so anti-authoritarian. I don't know what it is. If it's just something, it is so embedded in my American DNA. If I see the arrows on the floor of a store that say you have to stand here, I can't stand on it. I can't do it. I just cannot bring. I don't know what it is. It's like two opposing magnets. Just not going to happen. And so our whole town is having this fight about this mask right on Facebook. Because this is how grown adults do it. We talk crap about each other on Facebook in the comment sections. I'm watching people who are 60 years old scream at other people on Facebook. I mean, it is a sight to behold. So everybody's yelling about these masks, and I'm just getting ready to swoop in and be like, unless you're going to be wearing N95 or surgical masks, your whole sentiment is meaningless. and then I'm going to run away and just let them all scream. So I'm going to pick a fight on a break at some point, and you will know how it goes by how much more amused I grow throughout the show. So I'm getting it all. Kane's been watching me. I'm like, it's all ready to go. Look at me. I'm always prepared, man. It's all ready to rock. All I got to do is just hit boop. And then I have a certain family member. I'm not saying anybody's names, but they're like, well, I think that you should totally be wearing a mask. And if you're like not wearing a mask, then I guess you're just like really wanting to spread this COVID-19. And I'm always like Wuhan coronavirus. And they're like, that's not what it's called. I'm like, I can't speak communist Chinese. I'm sorry. Can you run that through a freedom filter for me? So it's a very interesting dynamic. Anyway, and I'm going to say something about their cloth mask because they literally spent... They ordered a cloth mask from, it's taken everything I have not to put this person on blast. I'm only doing it because we share blood. But they ordered a mask from Nordstrom that was like $30. A cloth mask for $30 from Nordstrom. Can we not? Thank you, Dana. Can we not? I need to clone myself because I need comfort.
I haven't fired off that cut in so long.
God bless America. 30, and it's a leopard mask. And I'm looking at my cousin like, you're pushing mid-40, baby girl. Why not? Let's maybe not remind everyone you're a cougar. You know? Like, don't do the kitty cat mask. I'm just saying. Has anyone else had this experience? Have you seen people doing this with this? I can't handle it. Ugh. All right. I'm going to let you know how it all goes. So... There was some poll out that everybody's wrong in, and they think that 56% think that the company's reopening too quickly. I do think that at some point the media brainwashing is working. I do. I hate saying it, and I'm gonna further explain this when we get into some of the presidential polling. But I really do, and this is why I keep. And I know you're tired of me saying it, but I feel like I have to. It's why I keep coming back to the whole, you have to put this in perspective with fatality rate and even the severity of these cases. Exactly. I mean, you'll have, maybe you have a spike in cases, but it's not, the severity is not off the charts. People aren't taking up hospital. I mean, we were supposed to only flatten the curve. I feel like people forgot this. We weren't making it go bye-bye. We were flattening the curve so as to better handle it. Are there people out there who honestly think, well, we all stayed home so the virus would go, oh, I guess there's no one to infect. I'm going to leave now. Bye. I feel like that's how people think this is supposed to happen, right? We were never going to get rid of it. Are you, some of these people out there who think this, are you on meth? We were never going to get rid of it. It was all about flattening the curve. We heard that phrase so many times. Flattening the curve. Real viruses have curves. No, flatten the curve. Sorry, Rachel. Flatten the curve. That's what we were told over and over again. Flatten it. Okay, well, it was flattened. It was flattened so flat, flatter than a carbon 38 yoga model's butt. Flattened, and only like 3% of women out there are going to get that, and you are my soul sisters. Kind of joking. So the curve was flattened. It was never supposed to go away. The idea that we were ever not going to have hot spots is stupid. I don't know who's putting that idea in anybody's head. People, do we have, are we, object permanence is a thing, right?
I'm hoping.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't it always sold as, we're just making sure that we don't overrun the hospitals?
That's exactly right.
So now that people are getting out more and we're testing more, the shocking thing is that there are going to be more cases. Yeah, because you were always told that from the get-go. Why is everyone acting like, well, Trump didn't tell me that. Yeah, he did. Every damn day. I know, because I had to preempt part of my show for it. Everyone got told repeatedly. I want to switch it up because I got to share this. This is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I saw this last night and I thought it was a joke. I did not think that this was a real sentiment. So let me set it up for you. So a student was shot and killed. This is from KTVU and Fox 2. And the family was searching for answers, right? 19-year-old Seth Smith, he was going to graduate from UC Berkeley next year. He was found lying on the ground, not far from his apartment, with a gunshot wound after he went for a walk Monday. He was a Sacramento native. He was a sophomore, major, a double majoring in history and economics. And someone walking their dog found him. And neighbors said it happened in front of a bus stop. And the response from the Berkeley chancellor is insane. I've never seen anything like this. The Berkeley chancellor sent out like a statement saying campus mourns tragic death of third-year Berkeley student. Okay. And in it, they say, we realize this is a difficult time for those of you who knew Seth. It is important to know that individuals may express their grief differently, and we need to respect the different ways people react and support each other in the days and weeks ahead. Many of you have had a close relationship with Seth and are feeling a sense of loss and disbelief. Others, like many of us, are experiencing stress, grief, and anxiety related to the coronavirus pandemic and the recent murders of George Floyd and other Black Americans. Say what? And then the vice chancellor says, quote, this is an actual email, Dan Mogiloff. He sends out this to a reporter from Fox News who had emailed this guy, emailed this vice chancellor and was like, what about, you know, this seems like a really kind of a weird response. And this is literally what the vice chancellor wrote back, quote, this is not a press release. It's only a copy of a message sent to the campus community. It seems to me that you are interpreting this message through a very specific ideological lens, which is your right. By the way, this guy does not know how to use ellipses, and he is a professor or vice chancellor. I can't stand it. There are not four of them. There's three, and there's a space in front and a space in back. So help me. Oh, my gosh. And he continues, but doesn't necessarily mean you are right. I'm sorry that our desire to acknowledge and empathize with what folks are feeling rubs you the wrong way and didn't realize there's some sort of rule stating that only one tragedy should be acknowledged in a given campus message. Oh. Wow. Holy cow, man. So that's their, You can't apparently even say anything about this dude unless you go, yeah, well, other people are hurting more. Where it's a grief off. That's from the, that's Berkeley. That is Berkeley. Wow. You can't even be allowed grief. Can't even that. Can't even have that, right? Like, how dare you mourn this white person? Because some of us are mourning with over the coronavirus, and then also some of us are upset over George Floyd. So you can't mention this guy at all without... So everyone else's grief is somehow diminished because other things have happened? That seems like a really bad way to determine whether or not someone is entitled to their grief or whether you or you should even be able to just in a singular message express condolences or provide some sort of support for the student community as a result. Gosh. So two things that I'm looking at. I know everybody's been passing around this Peggy Noonan piece. I don't dislike Peggy Noonan. I like her. But it's an editorial. It's over at the Wall Street Journal, and it's titled The Week It Went South for Trump. And there is this, it's kind of looking at what could have, what is affecting polling numbers. Now, I'm going to be real with you. I think to an extent it is the media garbage. And I know everyone goes back to 2016. But I'm going to tell you some things that I am seeing that I think that the team needs to change. Because it is, I think that, it, and this is why the president has his advisors around him. In politics, and especially during an election year, the only thing that matters is what have you done for me lately? That's how it works. What have you done for me lately? And we all believe that Trump is in terms of economic policy, he's been great for economic policy. And we also know, too, that this lockdown and the subsequent economic turmoil that we are all experiencing, that this is not something that has been rendered through bad economic decisions on his part. This is because we're in a global pandemic, and it would be a lot worse had we not had a stronger Trump economy going into it. Now, that being said, he needs to stop talking about what he did, and he needs to stop talking about more about what he's going to do. And that's what we're going to be discussing, because it's not that he is, and I will fight you on this, it's not that he's making bad decisions. He's not, his team is not messaging. I got to say it. And I think that you don't want to have him be the one who's always on offense, which is why, like, for instance, the speech that he gave when he was in Tulsa, when he was talking about the ramp, it was so hysterical. He was like, people were enjoying it. He needs to have his surrogates go out there, and they need to bring us a little bit something different. And I want to talk about it, because there are certain things that I want to hear, and I know that you want to hear, particularly as it relates to the economic push and what we're going to do. Like, how are we going to hit the ground running when everything is fully open, or at least like when the country's like three quarters open? So every now and then this happens to different campaigns. This actually happened to the Obama campaign going into his reelection term, because they fell into the same kind of rut. And it was, no, it always comes back to, what have you done for me lately? This is the exact same thing that hit Clinton too. This is why Carville really, really was focusing and pushing economy and all a bunch of other stuff. Carville actually kind of understood it when he was shepherding Clinton's campaign. The Obama campaign, they were going through some advisors during that period when they were gearing up for second term reelection, and they went through this too. And now the Trump campaign's going through it, but it's a little bit more intensified because of everything that's happening right now. So we're going to talk about it, because there is something that needs to be corrected, and it should be relatively easy to do. And I don't want people to think that if you just leave it alone, it'll write itself, because that never happens. So we're going to talk about that coming up also. In addition, we're going to be opening up some phone lines later on. We got, oh my gosh, I have some cancel culture stuff for you as well. And Black Lives Matter, the Marxist, the official group, their fundraising is apparently being handled by an entity that has a convicted terrorist on its board. So we'll discuss that too. I mean, we're learning all kinds of stuff today.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dealing with imaginary things like Antifa.
What? The hell did I just hear? That's Jerry Nadler.
I think I'm going to have to hear that again.
Get it again. Hit it.
Dealing with imaginary like things like Antifa.
Or your popularity.
Wait a minute.
Antifa is not imaginary. I mean, it's real. Are you telling me that it was Faye that's like burned things down, and we have an epidemic of like Faye, F-A-E, as like multiple fairy, like individual magical creatures, right? That are small, apparently?
Imaginary.
Or I don't know. Imaginary. The UN doesn't think so. The UN was defending them.
Right.
Woo, it's Friday. It's Friday. We're going to all get to stay home some more. So I had a couple of people like, wait a minute, what'd you say about Florida bars? Okay, so you can't just like go get a drink in a Florida bar right now. Because they're stopping the... You're shaking your head. You're mad.
Upset.
You're mad.
Upset.
There's a new peak in Florida. They had 9,000 new cases. The state has shut down alcohol at bars. Which... Okay. So... They effective immediately in Florida, they say the Department of Business and Professional Regulation is suspending on-premises consumption of alcohol at bars statewide. But you can go and get you some food. You just can't drink. I think that's dumb.
Super dumb.
Just let people take it home in a kit, the good American way. Come on. Gosh dang. I mean, I don't like people, so, I mean, most of them. So I don't mind taking it home. I don't know. But here, you know what? They would have to send all these sick people to the nursing homes and have like 180 fatalities a day in nursing homes to even get anywhere near the wonder brother that is Andrew Cuomo and his magnificent gubernatorialship of New York. I'm being so facetious. Hopefully, because I was listening to Dan Patrick. He's been actually on his game with talking about this stuff, and he's been going out there really trying to, you know, say we're not shutting down, it's just a pause, just a little pause. I love the wording. It's a pause, and also you got to cover your face, but it's a pause. Just saying. All right, coming up, this is what we got. Verizon is now pulling advertising from Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. Where am I going to go for my crappy overpriced phone service? Murph. We have that coming up for you. Do you want to know who might be dealing with some of the curriculum that your kid might be looking at in school? Because apparently it's a really, really bad, bigoted person. I got that information for you. Tons more. Don't go anywhere.
This segment of the Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at KelTecWeapons.com.
China had the worst year they've had in 67 years prior to the plague coming in. They had the worst year they had in 67 years because of the tariffs and all of the things that I've done. But he'll say, he got beat in the China deal. They didn't do a China deal. China ate our lunch before me, and they would have destroyed our country. China, in my opinion, would have destroyed our country economically if I didn't get elected.
And he's right. And this is what he needs to do a lot more of. He needs to really, really hit this hard. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, 844-344-DANA. And I got a lot of information to share with you as well. 248 on Pluto TV via the first. You can watch the simulcast as well as on official Dana Lash on Facebook and YouTube. And DanaLash.com. There's new stuff up there. Go and get my latest book, Grace Canceled, which is available on the site as well. All right, so the polling. Everybody's talking about the polling. It's. I want to really caution y'all, and I, as someone who hates almost everything, trusts nothing, and is a perpetual cynic, let me revise that, curmudgeon cynic, I think that there's, when you have enough smoke, there is a fire. And we can sit here and talk about oversampling, and we can talk about push polls and all of that stuff, but Not every poll is like that. Not every poll is faulty. And I want to caution everybody to not fall into this malaise of thinking that it's just, we don't have to pay attention to like this data or this, everything is fine. Because I like winning. I don't know about you all, but I like winning and I would like to win in 2020. And we can't do that if we see some problems that are bubbling up and we can't talk about them because people have had their trust spurned by the media in 2016 and they weren't able to trust anything that was coming out. Although there were some things that had been forecast in some of the polling in 2016, because I looked at all the hard numbers when I was doing all the caucus and primary and election coverage. And there's some things also with some of the polling that's coming out today. Now, I know everybody's seen like the Fox News poll and they've seen like the CNN stuff and they've seen all this, you know, all manner of everything. And there's concern about Trump in Texas and in Georgia and in Florida. This is one of the reasons a lot of this, I do think, is media optics. They're trying to very much position these states, especially as it relates to the pandemic, as if you don't want more of this, then you need to vote Democrat. And that's why they're really trying to hammer and overinflate a lot of the reporting on this, on the pandemic and the infection rate and the spread, et cetera, and why they are withholding proper context variables like the comorbidities or the fatality rates or the percentages on severity of infection, et cetera, right? So this is all it's important stuff to keep in mind. Now, that being said, there's two things that I'm looking at. And the Fox poll is not, it's not garbage. And in Texas, I'm always very hesitant about polling in Texas. And Georgia, I know that there's some things there. Trump is not doing as well. And this isn't just in Texas. This is like in every state. This is the one thing that I have noticed. Republicans in the state are performing better than Trump is, which I don't. This is kind of not really what I think Democrats were envisioning when they were leading these assaults on these Republican governors when they were reopening, etc. But Kemp and DeSantis and Abbott are outperforming Trump in some of these polls. And even right now, the latest is that Abbott was just floating a little bit above 60% in approval. And it's not because there was an oversampling, and it's not because of push polling. it is because this is, there's something to be said for how everything hits local. And when people are dealing with economic uncertainty, et cetera, they are really, really close to their state lawmakers, and those state lawmakers are going to, in some, you know, historically, they're going to outperform whoever's in the White House, no matter the party, even if, or if it's same party. So even Cornyn is actually doing really well in Texas, and he had been kind of struggling a little bit through the earlier part of, well, late winter, early spring. And so some of this is media. Some of it's media. I don't think a lot of it, I don't think that Biden is necessarily taking wind out of his sails just yet, because they haven't had him out there. And in fact, if you signed up to the newsletter, I was telling you how last night the media is going to try to now curtail the debates, how many debates between Biden and Trump, because Biden's only doing well now because he's very limited and because they're really controlling him and they're not letting him, that people don't have access, that he's not having, that he doesn't have as much access. Every single time that he goes out and does something, it goes viral because he does something stupid. I have examples of that here in a moment. But one of the things that you need to remember going into this is that in 2016, and I've written about this, Trump did not grow the Republican Party like you think he did. Some people think that Trump went out and christened a whole bunch of brand new baby Republican voters, brand new people who are registering to the party, who became registered Republicans for the first time. Again, I was there on election night and I saw hard data in spreadsheets from every corner of the country, and that is not what I saw. What I saw were Democrats and people who had previously voted for Obama and Clinton, who hated Hillary Clinton so badly they were voting for Donald Trump. And there was, and it's not entirely straightforward to say, there's nuance here, that it was just because they didn't like Hillary. They also did not like her messaging. They did not like what she was choosing to focus on, which was at the time a lot of feminism and a whole bunch of other stuff, but it wasn't anything to do with trade or manufacturing, even lower taxes. This is what Trump was very, very good at. And when he would go into the Rust Belt, and when he would go into some of these states that were historically Democrat, or some of these districts and counties that were historically Democrat, and he was walking away with them, that was a rude awakening for Democrats. And it's not that they just switched over and became newly minted Republicans. They just happened to vote. They voted for Trump. And they voted for him. And what data shows, too, during midterms is that they still supported him. They may vote for a Democrat in a down ticket race, but they'll vote for him as president. They may vote for a Democrat in the state. They may vote for a Democrat state senator, a Democrat state rep. They may even support a Democrat governor, but they will vote for Trump. And part of that is because he always has it in his mind, what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately? What do I get out? What that is, you are only as good in politics as what have you done for me lately? And that's why I wanted to open this segment up with that soundbite, because that's when he's at his best, when he is contrasting what he does against what Joe Biden doesn't do. And there's a lot of it. That's when he really shines. Joe Biden is going to try to make himself like the Rust Belt King. And Trump needs to not allow that to happen. And he needs to really, really, China is one of the weakest positions that Joe Biden has. And that's what he really has to watch it with that. They're going to try to distract him with everything else. That's why you got to get your surrogates out there to do this. Now, here's the other part of it. I don't necessarily agree with some of the analysis that I've read as to his handling of the pandemic and elsewhere, because by and large, from what I have seen, people have been relatively pleased with how he has handled things economically. And you can't very well say that you're upset with how Trump has handled the pandemic, but yet support your state leader with how they handled the pandemic, because Trump actually allowed each state's leader to make the determination as to the best manner in which to handle the pandemic. So it is not exactly a fair measure of judgment. And by not exactly fair, it's totally BS. He was very much, and this is, and he was going to get criticism if he didn't do it like this. But he can only know so much being in Washington, D.C. And I think that everyone out there could pretty fairly say they would rather someone in their state who has access to actual real life data from every hospital network and can talk to medical professionals in each county and make determinations as to what risks are out there, what maybe the percentage of or infection spread is, et cetera, hospital capacity, resources, more efficiently and more accurately than having everything funnel all the way out to Washington, D.C. and then back again, correct? So that's one of the good things about allowing that kind of delegation and allowing governors to do what they're elected to do and allow mayors to do what they're elected to do and county leaders to do what they're elected to do. That's why we have these people, so we can have an immediate impact on our government, particularly in a time such as a global pandemic. So that's the whole point of it. So people who, because I actually saw some analysis and I can't even remember where it was. I made a note of it and I forgot to include the link, but I quoted it. And they were trying to say that some of this was dissatisfaction with the way Trump was leading on the pandemic. Okay, well, then how do you reconcile that with the overwhelming positive support and approval for a number of state, even Democrats? There are some Democrats listed in here. Police is one of them in some of these states who are getting really good approval ratings for the way that they're handling the pandemic. And yet this is what he was supposed to do. So do you see how that doesn't necessarily make sense? So I want you to pay attention to that little shred of that little wrinkle in this narrative going forward, because that's the thing that I've seen a couple of, including this Wall Street Journal piece, really try to hit him on. They say that the other piece of objection is that the protests and riots, that they were not handled well. I disagree with that. I think that I don't know in what manner people think that they weren't handled well, unless you're talking about locality. If you're talking about these being handled poorly locally, then that's on your probably Democrat leaders. If you are upset over the Overton window of some of Trump's comments, etc., compare it to what he's actually done. I don't quite understand this either. I think people right now are knee-jerk. I think that a lot of them, we are in a fog of information and they don't know where to go to get any truth, which I totally get it. And I also believe that there are some people who want to know who they can hang this on, like who is it that they can blame. But the question as to whether or not Trump can lead better in a crisis or Biden, I can't believe anyone would actually call themselves a Republican and put that question forward in a serious fashion. So you also have to realize that there is a significant amount of Republicans who are still mad that Trump won in 2016, who are going to try to carry this water for Democrats going forward. If you want to talk about people who I think are ideological enemies, I would think those people are. I have nothing nice to say about them. We're a country and a culture war. We have a lot more coming up. 844-344-DANA. I also want to get into the Texas stuff. And then we're going to look at Chaz Chop. They said that they're done. They accomplished whatever they said they were going to do. And do we know what the hell they accomplished? Because I don't. We'll talk about that and more, so don't miss it. Nearly a decade ago, Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, was founded by freedom-loving Americans to help you support the values in which you believe. A portion of every dollar earned goes to support organizations that fight for First and Second Amendment rights. Also, they support sanctity of life and the needs of veterans and first responders. For a limited time, you can take advantage of Patriot Mobile's Let Freedom Ring promotion. Now through July 11th, get incredible discounts like a free phone or get a free month of service and free activation. High-value commitment plans to fit your budget. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com and use promo code FREEDOM at checkout. Their U.S.-based sales and support team will help you get unlimited talk and data and no hidden fees on their dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks. Call today to get the biggest promotion of the year. 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com, promo code FREEDOM. Let freedom ring with Patriot Mobile.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So Colleyville is not going to, and this is in Texas, that's actually not far from me. Colleyville is not going to enforce the county mask order, says the smart mayor who's ran his city right, Richard Newton. Mayor Newton says that they're not going to enforce it, mandating that businesses require that everybody has to wear it out publicly. He goes, we'll refer anyone to the county if they have questions about it. And he says, quote, we make decisions based on certain principles. He says, you know, we believe that business owners are best positioned to make these decisions for their businesses as well as the individual people. And then he also touched on how the county is very well positioned in terms of hospital capacity, that they have well over 1,800 available hospital beds, and that's just in this county, in Tarrant County. And so they're they don't have any instances. Somebody was trying to send me a story of some North Texas that's not the same. Shut up. It's not. He's doing a good job. A massive beehive was stolen after it was removed from a newly purchased house. So a family bought a new house, and then they discovered that the chimney was infested with over 130 bees. So a local beekeeper came to help out, and he removed the hive, but then he vacuumed up the insects, safely transported them to his farm. And then thieves reportedly stole the hive, and leaving the kindly beekeeper with nothing but a few dead bees. So who steals bees? They said a full healthy hive can fetch over $600. Who steals? You're a messed up. Who steals bees? Really? Is this where we are? We're stealing bees? This woman seems super friendly. This comes out of New Hampshire, I believe. Her name is State Senator Jean Deitch, and she sparked outrage by saying that parents who aren't well educated shouldn't have the same education choices for their children as those who are. And she suggested that some parents homeschool to hide their ongoing child abuse. Now, I would have to say that my previously homeschooled honor roll kids, one on college scholarship and the other a National Latin Exam gold medalist, and both involved in community service, and their peers would probably say this of the increasingly abusive government indoctrination / education. It would be great if people could pretend to at least be somewhat intelligent when it comes to this topic. Also, all three suspects have been indicted in the Ahmaud Arbery shooting death. The other third one was the guy who videotaped it, who was recording it. A Glynn County grand jury returned a murder indictment against three men in custody for the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. We have a lot more coming up, including polling. And then they're suing Trump over memes. For real. Stay with us.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec. Visit us at KelTecWeapons.com.
To the Congressional Black Caucus who have shaped the bill, but I only will do that if you tell me that this legislation is worthy of George Kirby's name. What? And he said
it is. You
mean
George Floyd?
Oh my God.
She said George Kirby. You mean George Floyd?
Oh man.
If Trump would have done that, they would have hammered him.
Oh, no doubt.
Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com, 248 Pluto TV via the first.
Wow.
I want to get into the meme lawsuit here in a minute, but this is what I want to lay out for you, because I'd retweeted this. If you sign up for the email newsletter, last night I put in there information and some headlines, some certain developments that you need to watch, right? Certain things that I had been reading, and as well as the just some of these headlines that I these things that I see that are coming up. Like, for instance, the targeting of Facebook and now Instagram, and how the media wants to get rid of the presidential debates. Yeah. So the headline from the Washington Post was literally, it's time to rethink the presidential debates. Now, they had really, Trump said he wanted four debates with Biden. Biden's people said they only wanted three. But now that's changing. Listen to this. The Washington Post opinion piece, they're trying to push to eliminate these presidential debates. They were scheduled to happen between September 29th and October 22nd. But now it looks as though Biden's camp wants to even minimize those three further, have fewer than that. Now, that's just some of that. And you're going to start hearing more and more of that. Trump does really good on debates. That's his jam. There is no one in politics right now that is as good at electioneering and retail politics. Actually, just retail politics. Nobody right now is as good at retail politics as Trump is. meaning he's the guy that goes in, shakes the hands, talks to the people, and he likes people. I think that he's one of those individuals that gets energy from being around other people. He likes it. Some people might say it looks exhausting. He likes it, and he's very good at it. Biden is not. And the only reason, and I want to touch on this again real quick, I really, really need to drive this home with you. The only reason that Biden is doing not awful in polling is because he's not out there. They are keeping him hidden. He got slammed by a Pennsylvania media. They blasted him at Lancaster Online. This is literally the newspaper's editorial board. Quote, by shutting out this newspaper's reporters, Biden campaign sends wrong message to Lancaster. Lancaster. They blasted him. This is not the first time this has happened either. They are keeping him entirely off grid. And it's, you could view it as a strategy. It's also the only thing that they have to do. And he's not really reacting to Twitter. He's not being reactionary to social media. Now, while he stays out of it, they can try to reform him. This is the other thing I want you to watch over. They're trying to position him because what is two of the biggest hammers that Trump has against him are China and law and order. And they're trying to remold Joe Biden as being this kind of moderate who, what was the piece that the story that I had? They wanted him to be there. They're trying to present him as being a moderate and, he won't even legalize. He doesn't even support legalizing pot. That's how they're trying to present it. For real. That's how they want him to look. They want him to look like the guy who he's not going to accept everything with Black Lives Matter. This is a piece over at Politico. Quote, why Biden is rejecting Black Lives Matter's boldest proposals. Activists want to defund the police. Biden won't even legalize pot. But then he's criticized because he's told critical race theory and intersectionality is not keeping him at arm's length. He's going to have to address it. His party's, that's what runs his party. That is what runs his party. He is not defining himself. He is allowing focus groups to do it for him. They are so terrified to get him out there. So what they're going to do is to keep him off. That he's gonna, they'll weather the discussion about staying in the basement, and then they'll say that Trump can't lead in a crisis. Joe Biden can't even make an appearance during an election. This is right now the strategy. They're gonna allow the media to hammer these Republican governors. They'll allow the media to take and blow out of all context any developments as it relates to the pandemic. They'll try to use that as the wedge to get in between Trump and his base. If they can get you to believe that something is getting screwed up on some level, you're going to take that out on Trump more than you before you would like the Kemps or the DeSantis's or the Abbott's or the Polices or even the Newsom's. And so they're going to keep him off. I told you this in the email newsletter last night. They are worried about him bombing on a debate stage. If Biden walks on stage with Trump, it is done. It's done. Mark my words. They're going to use this pandemic as a way to keep him off stage, and they're going to keep him locked down in a bunker. I think they'll do it all the way to damn election day. Because it is very hard if you are the incumbent. And what I've been telling you, it's what have you done for me lately? When you are the incumbent, it is very difficult. He can't just say that he's better than Biden. And this is where he runs into trouble. And this is where I think he has problems with polling because of this messaging. He needs to hammer him like he did with that soundbite when we played on China. He needs to hammer him on law and order, hammer him on China, hammer him on trade, hammer him on regulations. It's so easy to point to the stuff that Biden supported that got us in the mess in terms of bottlenecks with medical device regulations, as that's how N95s and surgical masks are regulated. I mean, we could go on and on. He could do this. He needs his surrogates to be reactionary on social media so he doesn't have to. And he's going to have to get laser focused. Because they'll keep Biden off this debate stage. And what they'll do is make Trump run against Trump. They'll make the Trump of now, they'll make that into some caricature. And they'll say, sure, he was good then, but what about now? Don't you want to change? That's how they're going to do it. You can't, it's really difficult to contrast with someone if they won't even show up. And Republicans may not be able to coax Biden out of his hidey hole. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do that. So when you're looking at the polling and you're looking at all this stuff, keep that in mind. And I want you to watch it. I'm not kidding you. They're going to push to have those debates eliminated. So what does that mean? That's one of the reasons why they went so hard on that Tulsa rally. And that, more than anything, was people worried just about the pandemic. It had nothing to do with enthusiasm, because he's doing quite well there. But it had nothing to do with enthusiasm. They want you to think that, though. All right, 844-344-DANA. Call Online 4 Terry out in Florida on cancel culture, because I haven't even gotten to those headlines yet. I got those coming out. Terry, welcome to the show. Happy Friday.
Hey, Dana. Hey, I just wanted to say Woke Hollywood missed one cancel on cancel culture. Forrest Gump earned 6 Academy Awards, including Best Director and Best Actor. The main character was named after Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was a Confederate general who was the very first Grand Wizard in the Ku Klux Klan. I think they should have to return all of those Emmys.
Oh, I totally didn't even know that. Oh, my gosh.
Yep, and Hollywood. Let me tell you, I support the people that are out protesting peacefully. That's what America is about. But when you start ripping down any of our history, and I will just tell you quick, I'm from Florida. I'm friends with a black man named Donnie at work. His uncle is security up where the Tuskegee Airmen Memorial is, and they've had problems with white people trying to deface that. Now, how does that support Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, that's like tearing down some of the abolitionist statues that we've been seeing Antifa and that do.
Yeah. People need to realize this is anarchy. I went to Trump's inauguration. I was standing on the street when Antifa was smashing the Bank of America. This has got nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. And my suggestion to all these corporations that are giving the African-American community lip service by changing boxes and taking my beloved Aunt Jemima off of my syrup, save the money for all your rebranding and do some scholarships for African-American underprivileged kids that are in terrible schools, and help them have a better future. Do something that works instead of just giving them lip service.
Yeah, well, I think that's all. These are all good suggestions as well. I'm sorry, my mind is spinning over the Forrest Gump movie. God love you. I appreciate you calling in, Terry. Are you serious? They need to give it all back. Cancel Forrest. Run, Forrest, run. Holy cow. The things that you learn. We have more of your calls coming up, 844-344-DANA. Really quick, speaking of the cancel culture stuff, you know that Trump is getting sued over a meme really quickly. So, okay, do you guys remember that one little sweet little video where you had these two little toddlers running towards each other? Two little boys, one white, one black. Well, someone, as a way to dunk on all of the media constantly pushing this, the division and everything else, they did something to the video where it showed one of the one little boy running away from the other little boy. And it called the one little boy who was white a racist baby. Well, apparently now they're suing Trump. And the guy who made the video, even though it was a meme, it's Toddlergate. They're literally, the guy who made it, Logan Cook, said that he hired Ron Coleman, who is a First Amendment attorney, an IP attorney. And they said that, well, you know, they're doing it kind of prematurely. The parents who are upset haven't filed anything yet. But I hope they don't, because that would be stupid. That would be one of the dumbest things ever. They were trying to say that Forbes was trying to say that the parents want to sue because they said it was shared as an advertisement and political propaganda. It was a meme. That's not, that's neither advertisement nor is it political propaganda. It was a meme. Oh my gosh. I hate everything.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are a couple of things about Vice President Biden that gives me personally a lot of pause about his true belief in African Americans having a equal seat at the table in the Democrat Party on issues that we consider important to us.
That's BET's founder, Robert Johnson, talking about that. That's not anything that I haven't heard. Yeah, I mean, it's a valid concern. There's been a lot of discussion about that, and particularly where it concerns a number, not just economic issues, but one of the hot topics of late has been criminal justice reform, right? And how have you not been able to get that done in the House at all and get it through until now, until you felt like, oh, well, everyone's watching and asking us what we're doing, so I guess I better hurry up. But he's right, though. And I think there's he also said the other day, he's like, you know, honestly, he goes, I think that he goes, just have all the people out there with Black Lives Matter form their own political party. You want to talk about scaring the bejeebers out of the Democrats. That would, that legitimately would. And I mean, I know we have this two-party system. That's just where we're at. And I always liked how conservatives and independents like myself, we kind of view ourselves as trying to pull the reins a little bit of the GOP. And I feel like Democrats don't have that. Do you get that impression?
Yeah.
They don't have anything like that. To be, because it's like you are all in or nothing. That's one thing they're very good at. Everybody has to get on the same page or you're excommunicado. But wouldn't it be healthier if it was viewed, or even if they had the optic of having like somebody kind of pull on the reins a little bit for the Democrat Party? I'm just saying. Just putting it out there. We got more of your calls coming up. 844-344-DANA, because we have another hour on the way. I got some Florida man. Oh my gosh. Let's kick it.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Dude, what was that?
Yeah, it was a burp.
Oh my gosh, that wasn't even an animal.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it is. All right. I had five of you send me two of these stories that I can't share. And I really want to because it is hysterical. So right now what I'll do is I'll do this one. Florida man burned after his girlfriend assaults him with hot pizza. Oh. Florida man suffered a minor burn on his hand. Aww. His girlfriend pulled a pizza out of their oven and threw it at him. And apparently they had been arguing for hours. 37-year-old Robert Ybarra and 32-year-old Becky Bartlett spent hours arguing. And then the Florida man decided to leave their St. Petersburg, Florida residence. And then she came back at him around 3 a.m. And he was going to cook himself a pizza, but she took it out and threw it at him and he burned his hand. And so, oh my gosh. And he called the police. He's got his hand burned. I'm done with the story. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. If you can't even handle your woman throwing pizza at you, she's violent. Yes. But you don't need to be calling the police because you got your hand burned because somebody got mad and threw some pizza at you. What is the matter with you? Let's see. A Florida man called a probation officer and then threatened to blow up the probation office after missing his appointment. He was supposed to appear for a drug test. And this is in Brevard County, Florida. Cocoa Beach police were dealing with it. A probation officer with CBPD got a call from a restricted number. And the guy was just like, yeah, at 8 o'clock, I'm going to blow up the probation's office. And the caller repeated the statement to the officer and then two times and then hung up. Obviously, they tracked it.
They can do
those things. And he didn't want to go to his appointment, so he violated his probation. And I had one guy who was quarantined on an island of parrots, not by his choice. It was a bird sanctuary. I have one guy who brandished a... I can't say what it is. You get a good idea and used it to assault someone repeatedly. I'll share that with you Monday, maybe. Stay with us. More of your calls coming up.
I think they took a leap back because they don't want this president to have a victory on another serious issue confronting the minority communities. This is pure, pure race politics at its worst.
Well, that's Senator Tim Scott, and not incorrect on that. He, of course, he's been pretty mad over the policing reform, et cetera, which is, I mean, true. Makes sense. Welcome to the show. Third hour of the program. At D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Yes, I know our stream is something's going on with it. I'm currently doing a live radio show, so I can try to pause the live radio show and deal with it myself, which I don't know what the hell I'm doing, and I'll probably set everything on fire. So yeah, we're aware. And I'm slightly crabby because we're doing the whole everyone has to wear a mask and all of this stuff and Texas and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because apparently everyone was operating under the assumption that we were going to all stay home and make the virus go away like that. And it was never about reducing the amount of demand on hospital resources or medical resources or medical professionals, etc. It was apparently that's how people are believing that it was. I'm just, you know, saying. And the last thing, and I'll say this, if I see one more person trying to shame someone else on Facebook over a mask when they go out in cloth masks, feel free to go to danalash.com. I'll even put this out again online. The cloth masks barely filter 4%. I have a mountain of research. I shared 3 separate independent studies. Every single one of them had the exact same conclusion that cloth masks were so worthless. Just don't. They said that they're actually dangerous, because it gives people this false sense of security that they're actually doing something. N95s, 95% filtration. Surgical masks, anywhere between 40 to 44%. And these are one of the reasons that we were dealing with this huge bottleneck in supply is because, and I honestly did not know this until this pandemic, is that these masks are regulated as surgical devices. So as of such, there is a whole other ball game they got to go by. Guess what? More regulation you have, the slower the process, the more ridiculous. That's why we were dealing with this disruption in the supply chain as it relates to meat processing, because you would have smaller processors that were barred from onerous regulation of doing what larger processors could do when larger processors could have easily used the help of these smaller processors. So you had to use different executive orders and waive regulations for that. Man, I hope this at least spurs us to a huge conversation on how much more difficult government, big government, has made all of this. Because like right now, you could create a mask and you could try to sell it as like medical grade, but you have to go through months and months of, you know, FDA garbage, and it's crazy. But the cloth masks don't do anything; they really don't. And when I see people out there trying to shame others who are objecting based on science and proven data, and they're out there themselves wearing a cloth mask, then keep your ass at home. If you're one of those, if you're one of the mask mandators, I better not see you out with a cloth mask unless you want to kill people. Stay at home. Don't go out unless you're wearing an N95 or a surgical mask. Can I also ask one other thing, and then I want to get moving? 844-344-DANA. Were we always not observing 6 foot of distance? And I say, and I'm not trying to be weird, but I like my personal space. Like, I never got right up on people in public. Is that something that actually happens?
Yeah, no, it totally does. In lines, and you know, if it wasn't for the cart in the grocery store, I wouldn't be separated that much from the other person in line. Like, that's just the way it goes. I don't think that we've been practicing 6 feet this whole time before the government mandated 6 feet.
I think I have. Like, when I would go to the grocery store,
you may have.
I would, because I would always take a. I'm welcome to my world. I wouldn't touch the cart unless I wiped it down with a wipe first. I'm a germaphobe, and I am really bad. And it's just now you guys know how I live. And whenever I would take my stuff in line, I purposefully would not get right up behind someone. And I don't even load my stuff onto the conveyor belt until theirs is half, like almost more than halfway up, and it's all empty, and then I can, because I need the distance. I don't know why. It's just a weird thing. And I cannot tell you the number of people who would get behind me in line and get mad at me. And like you can move up. And I've turned around once or twice. I've turned around and I've gone, oh, I didn't realize that me taking three steps would magically apparate you through the checkout line. And I just look at them. And then amazingly, they leave me alone.
Well, I don't think anybody was in each other's faces before.
No. They will get up on you, though. I think that. But I didn't realize how prevalent it was that you have to be told not to get up on somebody's rump.
Yeah.
That's we did this to ourselves. And then the Apple Watch now has a thing where it tells you how long you can how long you got to wash your hands. You like being clean, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. 844-344 Dana. I don't even know. Angelo is calling in from North Carolina on line two. Angelo, happy Friday to you. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Dana?
You know, I've been better, my friend. How you doing today?
Hey, the governor here in North Carolina at 5 o'clock. Everybody had the red mask. Ain't gonna be me.
Let me ask you, do they allow the cloth masks, or are they like, no, it's okay, you can pretend?
I don't know about that clown governor. That's what I'm calling him now, the clown. Yeah, everybody don't like him anyway. Hey, Democrats got restaurants in Raleigh. They say they ain't gonna vote for him this time. Fed up with them.
I can imagine.
All this stuff they're mad, all right, telling us. The red mask, I ain't wearing it. Somebody come to my face, you'll be on the floor, hurt.
Yeah.
Forget that governor. Nobody don't like him. Hey, I'm going to tell you something about the NFL coming up. And the NFL players on their knees, but the flag, I ain't watching it either.
Well, I think it's better than the burning in the buildings that we've seen and all of that. I appreciate calling in, Angelo. Angelo's mad today. Yes. Angelo's not going to wear a mask.
Can't think it's Angelo's leg day.
Angelo had leg day today.
I think he did.
That's the most obvious explanation there. He's not going to wear a mask. That's just it. I get that there's some people out there that have like legitimate health reasons. Like if you have asthma and stuff like that, then you can't, you know.
So be responsible for yourself.
Yeah, be responsible. Be responsible for yourself. I don't like if you don't want to do something, that doesn't mean that I shouldn't have to also not do it either. That's you bossing me around. I don't like that. Again, I'm very anti-authoritarian. It makes me a little nervous, right? It does. Let's go back to the phones. We got Richard calling in from my home state of Missouri on line five. Richard, welcome to the program. Happy Friday to you.
Wow, hello, and happy Friday to you, too.
I hope you're doing good out there. I know you're a truck driver. It says on my screen. I hope they're taking care of you.
Yes, I'm hanging in there. I hear you talking about that mask thing.
Oh.
But I would like to, you know that Trump never wears a mask. I wonder why is that?
I don't know if, probably because every time we see him, he's talking. I would imagine.
You could at least walk up to the mic with a mask on. He never
wears a mask. If he wore a cloth mask, though, I'd have to be honest with you. I would make fun of it. Unless it was an N95 mask or a surgical mask. I have to be honest with you. I would make fun of it if it was a cloth mask. I'm consistent.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, he's part of the president. He's the president, so he could get the best mask that they make, I'm sure.
But, probably. Everybody in government.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just was hearing some things about... it sounds like they was giving Trump a lot of praise. And I think that I was born in the 60s. And there's a lot of things that I've seen Trump do over the years, like his Trump Towers and all of his buildings down on 59th Street in New York and downtown New York. Anytime you walk past there or even got close to his building and you was black, you got arrested and maybe even beat up.
Really?
And now, you did. And I've seen, he's always been a racist man, always. I mean, you know, you could be who you are, but just really, you know, it's not good to put that out in the world because it's hatred. You know, God don't like ugly, and promoting hatred is not a good thing. And then he also says things like, make America great again. Make America great for who? because it was never great.
I think he's talking economically. I think he's talking about like economic improvement. That's how I always took it.
Well, if you ask me, the more people make money, the more people can contribute to the economical force. You see, but if you want to hold a certain race back or you want to hold some other people back just because they're different race than you, then that's improper. That's not.
Well,
that's
and that doesn't make economic sense. Has he been doing that?
Excuse me?
I said, and that wouldn't make economic sense, holding people back, because rising tide lifts all ships. But has he been doing that, though?
No, I don't. I believe that everybody should have a shake at the same opportunities.
Right.
Everyone. You know, right. if a person is uneducated in certain areas, I could understand, okay, they're not at that level yet. They might need to go back to school to get up to this level. I could understand that. But if the person is qualified, just because they're Mexican or they're black or any kind of other race, Chinese, that means they can't have the same kind of jobs that white guys are having. That's very unfair.
No, I would agree with that. I don't know who would have that as a position in 2020.
Just like in the truck driving industry, it's the same way. Certain places, certain companies I've worked for, I was working for them good until they seen my driver's license. Once they seen my driver's license, all of a sudden, bam, I was out of a job.
That's illegal, though. For real, though, that's not even legal. Have you, looked into that? Like, what kind of legal action you could take?
See, that's the whole thing. See, when you fight those things, how far is that really going to go, being a black
man in America? Oh, it's going to go far. You're going to get some attorneys out there that like the money that comes with that. don't think that.
Oh, but see, you know what? See that statement you just said. Cops been killing black men for years, and that's been going to court for years, and that's never gotten anywhere. Even to this day, it still hasn't gotten anywhere. So
we've had a number of cases, but for real, out of concern though for your situation, if you have been, my friend, if you have been discriminated against in your line of employment, I definitely would highly encourage you to look into how you can explore your options that are available to you in that, for real.
Oh, yeah, it's happening. It's definitely happening, because it's very unfair and it's unfortunate that things like this has to happen, you know, or even though disaster is what makes change, you see what I'm saying? But the same kind of disaster time again? No, we should have changed that many, many years ago.
Yeah, and there are laws against that stuff. I mean, you can't just go out and, you know, be discriminatory towards people. There are laws against it. I appreciate you calling in. I want you to be safe out there while you're out there driving. That's Richard calling in from Missouri. He's not having a good day either.
Richard had leg day today.
Richard had leg day too. Everybody's having leg day at the gym. We got to get moving. We got headlines on the way also.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy the Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I did want to touch on how Russia apparently is threatened by NASA and Elon Musk. The first ever contract for a tourist walk in outer space, the Russian space corporations revealed. Look, guys, we're going to let you spacewalk out here. Yeah, come and spacewalk out here. You guys want to come spacewalk? I bet Elon Musk isn't doing that. Russia is triggered. Kanye West and Gap strike a 10-year deal. Retailers announced Friday that Gap's going to partner with Kanye and Yeezy in his fashion company for a new line called Yeezy Gap that will be introduced in the first half of 2021. Kanye is going to roll around in a big old pile of money. God bless capitalism. Moving down on the line here. Severe Wuhan coronavirus can damage the brain, according to a preliminary study reported by Reuters. They say that some patients that have super severe complications and comorbidity factors will have brain complications. The most effective, most common one is stroke, and they'll have confusion and behavioral changes and things like that, which, yeah, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that we're seeing with us. Senators are demanding the Pentagon's UFO files. Now, here's a story that has my interest. Senators are wanting the Pentagon's UFO files. An intelligence panel wants a public report on the progress of mysterious Navy program and what it does. This is because of that. We were talking about the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force. It's literally a UFO program that exists. In 2017, the Pentagon admitted funding it, but they said that it had ended. They had funded it in the past and it ended in 2012. And now the Intelligence Committee there in the Senate, they want a published report on this and any phenomena. I am all for this. Yes. Illinois gun permit applications surged by 500%. Dang. Oh, my gosh. And for everybody mad about the Kung Flu stuff, which I wasn't mad when Obama did it, and I'm not mad when Trump did it. Obama administration, they said that, yes, they used the word Kung Flu in marketing materials and all kinds of stuff. That's the VA during the Obama era. I mean, come on, people. There's so many things to get mad about. I don't take any of these people seriously that are going to try to just virtue signal and act like they're going to just feign outrage over some of the goofiest stuff. Stop. All right. No, you don't get to clutch pearls over Trump calling Antifa terrorists. We have that and more. Stick with us.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Unnecessarily, now we have over 120 million dead from COVID.
Whoa. What? 120 million dead from the COVID. What? That was Joe Biden who said that. That was just like the 150 million, just under the 150 million that we lost just in the past year for gun violence. You have that? I'll remember that one? Yeah, listen.
Imagine if I stood here and said we give immunity to drug companies, we give immunity to tobacco companies. That has caused carnage on our streets.
Carnage.
150 million people have been killed since 2007 when Bernie voted to exempt the gun manufacturers from
manufacturers. M-A-N-N-F-A-C-K-S-H-U-R-E-S. Manufacturers. Manufacturers, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder why he doesn't want to do debates.
Well, in his defense, he did correct himself on that 120 million thing. After.
It's not how it works.
Yeah, what?
Dem's not the rules.
No?
Dem's not the rules.
Dem's not the rules.
No,
for Dem's
not the rules, period. No. The rules are, is that that's what he said. He said it. It's done. Bye. Run away. No clarification. Run away.
So
run away.
We're giving him the Trump treatment, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Dems to rules.
I got you.
I have some things I want to hit. Can we talk the Splash Mountain thing real fast? I didn't know this was the thing. Is this the thing that we're all mad about? Are we all mad about it? I don't know what the hell exactly. I was looking at it, and I mean, so Disney, I don't know. It's something with Splash Mountain. They're going to move. It's time to move Splash Mountain. And yes. And then there was something over the Princess and the Frog. People were unhappy about where that. So apparently Splash Mountain, they said the rides were racist. And so I didn't even know that it was based on racism. Are you really like for real? Like it's a racist ride? Rachel, you're from Florida. Did you grow up with that racism down there? The racist ride? They say that the Splash Mountain, one of Disney's most popular but problematic rides, is going to be completely reimagined. The Log Flume. I've written that Six Flags before. It is based on the controversial 1946 film Song of the South, which I've also never seen. And they're going to retheme it to star characters from The Princess and the Frog. I did not know that. Oh, and Song of the South, it's the zippity-doo-dah thing. That's apparently, I don't know. It's racist, I think.
Song. When I was a kid, I used to love that song.
Well, then you're a racist. Gosh. A half-Hispanic racist, but a racist nonetheless.
Dang it.
So, the log ride is... I'm so confused. They've changed it because it was racist. Can we ride in logs and water?
I think that's still a thing, right?
I don't know. Is it racist?
How in the world would that be racist?
I'm just saying, they're changing the ride because it's based on a racist movie. A young boy who visits his grandmother's plantation after... I've never seen this movie. Blah, 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 blah. That's, apparently, there's some really racist white liberals out there. So they're changing it, and as long as you can ride in a log on the water, I don't care what the hell you're riding in. I don't care. The only thing that I don't pay attention to, I don't think kids pay attention to the rides themes. I really just going to go out there and say I don't think that they do. It's because I never knew that. I never knew it at all. So that's the one thing. The second thing is, oh my goodness, let's see, because we were talking about Winn-Dixie. They're looking to change their name also, the Winn-Dixie. Because it has Dixie in it. and they say it's problematic because it's racist. And so the grocery chain has not picked a name out just yet. They say it's only a matter of time. Are they just going to be like The Win? But then, wait, you can't do that because that's Steve Wynn, but that's yeah. W-Y-N-N, right?
That's the same. Yeah, that's true, but still.
So that Nestle is renaming the candy that is called Red Skins. It is a raspberry candy because they said it sounds racist.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. Red Skins, I guess. Red Skins. What? But it's raspberry.
I didn't even know this candy existed.
Neither did I.
I did not, literally did not know.
What color are raspberries, though?
They're red.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So that's canceled. Let me just get, I just want to make sure you're all caught up so you're not out there doing some stuff you shouldn't be doing. And then Chaz Chop has, they said they're done. Yay. I don't know. They put out a statement saying we are done. I think it's just because all the businesses in Seattle are suing the city because of Chaz Chop. So Seattle's hottest Summer of Love Festival, which saw multiple people shot, killed, a big fist erected, and a racially segregated garden thrown on top of cardboard, has ended with a big, giant, slobbery sellout to Joe Biden. Yeah, so they had tweeted, thank you for your support, whatever, people. And I don't know. That the tweet's not there anymore, but they said that they've accomplished, I guess, what they set out to do, and I don't understand what it was that they set out to do. Like, are you talking about, like, tanking property value or committing crime or what? They didn't really do anything. They didn't... What did they do? They did learn what autonomous actually meant. So if they leave, here's two questions. First off, who gets the big fist?
Oh, yeah.
And then secondly, what happens to the garden? I mean, I realize that I think in Farmville, I've never played it, but I know people who have. You can just like harvest stuff if with an in-app purchase after like a couple of weeks, right? Hopefully they don't think that this kind of garden in the real world operates in the same manner, right?
Right.
Just asking for a friend. Just asking for a friend here. So... that, and then last but not least, so there's a very interesting piece out about the official group of Black Lives Matter. That's the organization we've been talking about. One of the three co-founders of the official organization, which talks about transgender advocacy and how basically the family unit is outdated. And I mean, I'm not making this up. This is just like stuff that's on their published policy platform. And the underappreciation of men and the family unit, by the way, have a major problem with. But they said that Alicia Garza, one of her main inspirations, she said, is Assata Shakur, whose name is Joanna Chesimard, who is a convicted cop killer. And she was also, I mean, she's, you know, I mean, then they have also on the board Susan Rosenberg. She's a member of the board of directors for 1000 Currents, which is a super far left group. And... she apparently was suspected of helping Shakur escape from prison, and she's listed as the vice chairwoman of the board of directors for 1000 Currents. They pulled the webpage down after Capital Research Center began really digging into all of their affiliations and how they were raising money. And so far they've not addressed it and they haven't responded. But so yeah, that group is doing fundraising with a convicted terrorist on its board. So it's one thing to say a statement, but it's another thing to be told that you have to give your support to an organized group that actually the things that they stand against are things that I look at Black voters, I look at conservative voters, I look at Hispanic voters. There are certain things, particularly culturally, that they all fall in line with in terms of family unit and the importance of fathers in the home and advocacy. None of those things have anything to do with police brutality and criminal justice. And yet those are the things that seem to get priority with that official group. And so it's like, that's not a natural ideological ally. So people need to be aware of this. Gosh. All right. 844-344-DANA. I have to get Dave's calling out of Missouri about one of our callers on line four who had leg day apparently as well. He was the truck driver who called in. And Dave is on the line. Welcome to the show. Happy Friday to you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for taking my call, Dana.
Of course.
What I wanted to say was when I initially called, I got a little bit... called triggered. When I got my car, I just finished my job here and got my car and your show was on and this guy was talking about how I guess he's black and and he was trying to get a job driving, and they'd look at his license, and then he'd never get a job because they'd see he's black or something. I just, he said that was, you gave him every opportunity to step up and do something. You gave him all kinds of avenues of recourse. But he said, no, it doesn't do any good, well, if somebody looks at his license that he's trying to get a job with, and they turn him down, there's something wrong with his license. There's something wrong with his work history. There's something, he's got the wrong kind of a license, or he's got too many violations or drunk drivings or something. He needs to look at that rather than looking for racism as a reason for all of his problems. I used to drive over the road. I know how difficult it can be to get a job. But right now in this environment in our country, these trucking companies, these companies need drivers. And if he matches all the right requirements, he's going to get a job, especially if he's black. So, by the way, you know, as far as police officers concerned and what we talk about, we hear about, it's a crying shame. These cops get out there and they want to go home to their families. They're out there not for the money. They're out there risking their lives and everything else. And these people just do not appreciate anything past getting their needs met of being saved or whatnot. But these police officers, whenever they effect an arrest, the bottom line is people are not taught, especially, I don't know what the problem is in the black culture, where they feel they got to resist all the time.
Well, and I'm not going to get into the, because there's, I mean, we looked at, and I appreciate the calling, we've talked about breaking down the demographics and all of the stuff with engagement with police and all of that, and there's so many, nobody wants to have a discussion about the actual facts, which I have, by the way, published at danalash.com, as our caller was discussing, but you can't have a conversation that takes you to a point of progress if you're not willing to base it on actual data and truth. We got more of you coming up, but I told you I was going to be mad at this lady with the fireworks thing, didn't I? Did I not tell you this? Kick it.
And now it's finally that part of the show where Dana monetizes the hate. All week, hateful posts, tweets, replies, and emails have been collected. The best of the best make the cut. It's Mailbag of Hate on The Dana Show.
Actual messages. I have one today, and this one got me the most. Because I'm like, how would you listen to my show for any period of time and know how much I don't like the Karen-y, right? And I just don't have the mindset that because I hear someone else talk about something that I feel like I should do this, right? And I'm also talking about a period of my youth, which was like late 80s, early to mid 90s. I came of age as a 90s kid. So that's a long time ago. It's not 2020, right? Anyway, so we were having this conversation about fireworks. And there are what did they say in New York and elsewhere? They're not even going to go after firework calls anymore right now. Yeah. But heaven forbid you be a Jewish child and go to a playground. Then they're going to send out everybody. All right. So this came, I'm not going to give her email address because she wasn't like ignorant, but I got the impression that she thought she was being nice. And her name is not Karen. Right. Should be. It's not, but it should be. Okay. Her name is Heather. Now, again, this is my story that a couple of days ago we were talking about fireworks. She writes, the subject is just your conversation on fireworks. Dana, while I'm glad you can reminisce about your time celebrating the 4th of July, I have to express my disappointment at your reckless encouragement of irresponsible firearm handling. Each year, children and adults are injured and killed through the very uses you describe, and in your role as a reporter, you have a responsibility to not encourage irresponsible usage. You wouldn't do it with a gun, so why a firework? I hope you'll take this criticism as the constructive criticism it is and do better in the future. Heather.
Did she say handling of firearms or fireworks?
Firework.
Okay, because I think you said firearm.
No, she did. She goes, you wouldn't do it with a gun, so why a firework?
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. Okay, first off, it's Independence Day, number one. Number two. My retelling of my story about how I used to like to hold Roman candles is in no way me telling you to allow your children to stick the bottle rockets in their mouths and light them with the torch lighter and just spit them out at other family members, and how fun it is to do that. Make sure you do it. Don't do it. I'm just relaying a story. And she's like, every year children and adults are injured and killed through the very uses you describe. Where are all of these stories? By all means, it's all my fault. Is that what you're saying, Heather? All my fault? I'm not a reporter. I'm a commentator. And sometimes I'll be an analyst, but I am an editorialist first and foremost. And I don't have any responsibility to do anything that I don't want to do. And you're not going to make me. So there you go. And I'm pretty sure me laughing about how different it was back in the day is kind of highlighting how much different it was back in the day, and how you can't get away with that kind of stuff now because of parents like Heather, who want to breathe down the necks of her children. Yep. And make them feel as though they're never alone. Big Mama is always watching you.
Some of my best memories were with fireworks when I was a kid.
And if you seriously ever send me an email and compare a gun to a firework again, God love you. It's not constructive criticism. It's Karening. Her Karening intensified. I'm not telling you to take just hordes of them and run with them while also lighting them on fire. I'm not doing that.
I think you did mention you'd hand out M80s to kids. I think you did say that part.
Did I?
I think you did.
Maybe.
Pretty sure you did.
I mean, they're cherry bombs, right? Don't put them in your mouth.
Again, good memories.
Fireworks. Good memories. Super, super fun memories. Love hey, it. Also, don't ever, I'm going to share this later. I know we got to get going. I actually have a photo of myself with a side ponytail holding a bunch of bottle rockets in one hand and a sparkler in the other hand with a t-shirt that my mom got for me at a fair, the town fair, where I have my face actually printed on the t-shirt. And I'm wearing culottes, which I don't even, is that like a skirt? I don't know. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. And I'm wearing culottes. That is, you can't get more peak early 90s than that.
Right. And I think t-shirts were more flammable back then.
Oh, pretty sure. Yeah. Also having a sparkler by literally a handful of bottle rockets with the wicks all out is also totally responsible firework handling. We have to get moving. Thanks, Karen.
It's the Dana Show.
I want to play air drums.
Friday.
It's Friday. Today's Stupidity Kane.
Woohoo! Here's Jerry Nadler.
Dealing with imaginary things like Antifa.
Imaginary? Somehow not, Antifa?
So those buildings caught on fire all by themselves. It was a ghost.
We only imagined
ghost.
That stuff. Apparently,
yeah, it's
we
haunted.
Only imagined it.
It's the UFOs.
I had no idea.
It's imagined. It was all imagined in our head.
In fact, that's
insane.
Not true.
Insane.
Which makes Jerry stupid.
There you go. Folks, danalash.com. And we'll follow all of this stuff. We'll have everything up for you. We'll get you set up Sunday night. So sign up for the email newsletter. Have a great night.